Welcome back to Passive Income Pilots, everyone. Tate Duryea here with Ryan Gibson on another beautiful day. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Although I saw one of our one-star reviews on the show and I want to...
We got our first legitimate one-star review. I love it. I love this because we've had, 85 plus people raving about the show. Thank you, everyone who has left a review. If you haven't left a review, please consider leaving us one. It helps us reach more people.
It inspires us. It inspires us. Like, when I get a 5-star review, I get motivated. And then I want to bring on more guests.
Ryan and I are both busy people here. It takes a lot of time and effort to put this show together. So when we see those nice reviews, it really does make it all worth it. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you to all you listeners.
I think it is. We do want to talk about that 1-star review though, for just a minute. First of all, it was an Airbus pilot. No surprise there. Pilots, give them a bag of money and they'll complain about how heavy it is. That's the old saying. But no, the complaint, we do take the complaint to heart. And I've said, hey, I thought the show was talking about passive income and these guys are talking about the economy. Talking about the economy is part of the whole thing, right? You got to know the whole environment that you're operating in to understand where to fit in and where passive income might make sense. But, the other part of passive income is getting better at health and wellness and making sure that you can actually enjoy your life past age 65 and you don't just completely crater in health and wellness as soon as you get out of this career that you work so hard for and you've saved and you've retired. And so we're putting that spin on the show today. So yes, we're not talking about financial performance today. We're talking about mental health and physical performance and how to get the most out of your life. That's what this is all about at the end of the day, right? Financial freedom, passive income. That's all about just being a better person, like having a better life with more freedom to do the things that you want to do. Guess
if
what?
If you don't have your health.
Yeah. If you don't have your health, then what's the point? Nothing. Let's just all go to 65 and then die the next day. Like, who wants to do that? So we're bringing on actually one of the top guys that I know, special forces guy, served in the army, complete, awesome, badass guy that knows a lot about health and wellness and mental health and helps people actually one-on-one coaching. Just a really great guy, Alex Racy. Tate, you want to give us a little bit more background about who Alex is?
Yeah, he's got a 25-year military career. He was an Army Ranger, deployed to combat 13 times in various operational roles. And after retiring from the military, Alex transitioned to the private sector. He talks about this being the global director of security for a Fortune 500 company. And since 2018, he's been fully dedicated to personal performance coaching, helping clients maximize physical, mental, spiritual, social well-being. So the whole round robin, instead of just being a fitness coach or a nutritionist, really tying the whole package together to help people live more fulfilled lives. So
he's also got a son that's going through pilot training right now. He got his private, got his instrument. And so Alex would love to have a conversation with an airline, fellow airline pilot, help with any wisdom he could give for career advice. Alex is a great guy to connect with and he can help you and really good guy to know.
Absolutely. And when Ryan and I were starting this show, this was always the intent, was to have a financially focused show with industry and personal issues woven in, because this is a show for pilots and all of the issues that face pilots. So without further ado,
let's get to the show.
Welcome to Passive Income Pilots, where pilots upgrade their money. This is the definitive source for personal finance and investment tactics for aviators. We interview world-renowned experts and share these lessons with the flying community. So if you're ready for practical knowledge and insights, let's roll.
Alex, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, you bet. It's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, so I've actually had the chance to personally work with Alex as a kind of performance and fitness coach for the last, 5 years or so, 4 years? And it's been a lot of fun. And I've learned a ton about just little tips that you can do to really outlive, right? Well, I think the book that we kind of got inspired by recently, we sent that book out to all of our investors this past year. But Alex, why don't you just give a little bit of background of who you are, your military background and experience. Thank you for your service, by the way, and what you're doing today.
Yeah, right on. Hey, again, thanks for inviting me on. My name is Alex Racy. I'm 53. I spent 25 years in the U.S. Army as an enlisted swine. I'm guessing most of your military audience are officers, and I helped a lot of officers keep from getting fired over those 25 years as their senior NCO. Most of my time was spent in the special operations area. I spent about a little over 17 years at the Special Mission Unit at Fort Bragg, I came in 91. So I was a peacetime Army where you're just like trying to train and find all the things to do better and better. And then lo and behold, we actually had a war start. And I spent 10 years going back and forth with that. Finished up my time as in more of an office job. I was the director for our performance program at the unit I was at Fort Bragg. That really got me to the next level on kind of what I do now with regard to focusing on physical, mental, and emotional health and what I do for my clients. But the military stuff was super, super interesting. I was in from 1991 to 2016. It was a lot of back and forth overseas. And then I retired and joined the civilian sector as a director of security at a Fortune 500 company. And that's kind of, and that was really where I was like, oh, so this is, I'm around all these really high functioning people and I'm realizing that they totally never learned how to take care of themselves from a physical standpoint. Mostly it's like, hey, just never had the education of when you are an adult with lots of stress and lots of requirements and lots of sitting around, you need to take care of yourself a certain way and prioritize certain things when you're not tied to that desk or for your audience, again, that tied to that seat in the cockpit. And I built my coaching program, First Principles Performance, around that. The only other thing I'll add is I'm an aviation dad. I've got a son who's getting his instrument rating right now and is going to Metro State University here in Denver on a professional pilot track. So I'm tied in that way with aviators. And I'm actually concerned about his future career, where he will be potentially sitting behind a joystick for hours on end and then having this really crazy schedule half of the month and then the other half of the month being in this completely different environment. So these are all things that are super interesting to me. But myself, I'm not a pilot. I joke that I have more time in helicopters flying around than most Apache pilots because I lived on helicopters for many years of my military career.
Yeah, and you were an Army Ranger, and didn't you crash in a helicopter at one point?
I had just fast roped out of a helicopter that crashed right behind me. So a chunk of the rotor blade knocked me out for a few seconds. And that was in training in 1999. It actually killed my buddy who was on the rope just above me when we were coming out of the helicopter. It landed on him, unfortunately. But yeah, I've been under chunks of flying rotor blade three times in my military career, and I only got hit once. So I feel pretty good about that.
Pretty lucky.
Wow. Alex, you know, one thing that you said that really makes me think about what we do as pilots is the long hours of sitting and not being able to move around. And I think I even talked to a pilot once who was like a really avid runner. And when she went to the doctor's, like, what do you do for your career that makes you so inflexible and like stiff in your muscles for the amount of running that you do? And then when she mentioned that she was a pilot, he was like, oh, that makes sense. I'd love to just get into, we sit for long periods of time. And this podcast is all about passive income, but it also, like, you got to take care of yourself if you want to enjoy this passive income. So what tips would you give someone who's just going to be in this prolonged sitting position in a crammed cockpit for many hours? What would be your kind of best advice for that?
My best advice for that would be, prior to getting in that position, anytime during those long flights, and it's especially right after being able to get out of that seat for post-flight, would be to prioritize movement and kind of a rehab. We just finished a flight rehab session after you're free and clear of that cockpit. That could look like a lot of things, but full range of motion movement holds, just an air squat. I don't fly much on wide body aircraft, but I would imagine the cockpits aren't big enough to really move around too much in, even in those I see in a lot of 737s when I'm getting on and off of airplanes, and there's no room in those, but
7.3 is pretty small.
If there's any ability to stretch,
we got a little bit of room on the 330.
Any part of your body during flight, even if it's just simply retracting your shoulders back, opposite of that always leaning forward kind of posture that pilots have while they're flying, but also everybody driving a desk with their hands on a computer are in this similar position. So that opposite position, even if you can do that occasionally during the flight. It's not going to help you necessarily lower body, but it will help you upper body. But things like air squats, holding that bottom position and learning how to do a good air squat, that's going to help those hamstrings and that lower back immediately get back into a more lengthened posture, or just, it's just going to make them remember that, hey, we're not just always going to be stuck in these certain positions. The length of your hamstring is completely contained when you're in a seat, and your lower back and your hamstrings start adjusting to that position pretty quickly. So you just want to reverse those types of things. I've got lots of issues from my time in the military and just like the life I've chosen to live. I do a little 5-minute yoga routine every morning I get up, whether I'm in a hotel, whether I'm at home, whether I'm in a tent with my kids at an air show or whatever. I'm doing I call it coffee's brewing yoga, because I do it once I start my first cup of coffee brewing. And by the time the coffee's done, I'm ready for it. And I've gotten everything as close to aligned or in alignment as possible for the day. So lots of just, it's funny, a lot of what I teach is very basic stuff. And it's in some cases, like this, for example, it's as easy to do as it is easy to not do. And it's not earth shattering. So it's like that, you all talk about investments and a little bit of a return that is building up over a long time is a good investment, or a lot of return building up over a long time. It's the same thing with personal performance. If you're eating a little bit better and you're sleeping a little bit better and you're focused on movement a little bit better, and that's very specific to your professional career, what that might look like, you're going to put some health bucks in the bank for later on.
Yeah, no, that's really, and you touched on something like eating better. I love that. I want to pull on that thread because we only have limited time in an airport to eat, right? Flight comes in, 35, 1 hour turn, and of course, what's in the airport? That's right. Our option. And we're on a 4 or 5 day trip, maybe even a 12 day trip if we're an international pilot. So bringing food and grocery shopping and having a lunch bag it's not the most convenient thing. I did it for a period of time, and you lose interest in packing all your stuff, and it's hard to keep up with and keep fresh and taste good and want to actually eat it right after a few days of it being in your bag. What kind of advice would you have on knowing that we don't have a lot of time to eat, we don't have a lot of time to pick out food, and how would you set up a plan for a pilot?
Honestly, I would do it just like I would for any other profession. Specific to what we're talking about, one thing that I think about, which may or not be true because I don't have experience, but like I imagine, let's talk about your friend that's the runner. She's training for marathons, and most of that's probably happening when she's not on a 5-day flight profile. So
right,
her energy requirements and how she fuels or eats and drinks probably looks totally different when she's home training for a marathon compared to what her energy needs are when she's flying for 5 days. Now, of course, if she's got weight periods where she's on a treadmill for hours at a time in between these flight legs, that requires a certain type of fueling as well. But one thing with pilots that I think about is, depending on how active you are when you're not flying, you would just change your energy components of your eat plan when you were flying, i.e. the things that give you energy and create extra body weight in the form of fat, the three components that are going to cause you to get fatter than most people want to be are carbohydrates, fats, and alcohol, right? So you would want to potentially have a, hey, this is how I eat when I'm home and I'm training for marathons or I'm working on my farm, and this is how I eat when I'm not doing much from a physical activity standpoint, but I'm flying. And so that would look like knowing your protein baseline and how much protein you need. And we just had a study come out that people who train hard actually utilize more protein from a synthesis standpoint. In other words, they convert more protein into muscle and other tissues on their rest day than they do on their hard work days or their light work days. I just saw that.
Interesting.
So I don't want to pound a stake in the ground on that one, but it's an interesting thing. So one, always know your protein baseline and maintain it daily. And then two, change the energy for the day you're having. Hey, I'm going to be in a cockpit all day. That means I don't need
as much. When you're on a trip.
Need fettuccine necessarily. that day. And then when you're in the airport, I would look for the restaurants that you can grab the salad to go. And honestly, I'd just go double meat. Hey, give me the Cobb salad with chicken, double meat.
I was just going to ask you, every pilot goes to the Irish pub on every layover, right? That's what we do as pilots. We find the closest Irish bar. So what am I going to order there? Exactly. What's the dinner that I order at the Irish pub?
Oh man, that's a tough one. When you're out and about and you're going to a restaurant, the same basics, you just apply them. If I'm going to the Irish pub, that obviously means I'm having a Guinness. And so maybe I just have a steak and a pint and call it a day right there. And I want to get, this is backwards and no one's going to do it, but you'd want to eat most of the steak before you start down in the pint, because it'll slow down that carb and alcohol train that hits your liver and causes all the issues. Yeah, but honestly,
that goes against my policy of not liking to eat on an empty stomach. That's always the joke that I say. Yeah, I don't like to eat on an empty stomach. I got to have a beer first.
It's funny. I used to, and this caused some issues. I before I started paying attention to when I eat, as in how many hours a day am I consuming calories, I was the guy who started the food clock at 5 a.m. with a big cup of coffee, tons of cream and sugar. And before I went to bed, I'd have a bowl of cereal at 9:30 at night, because hey, who wants to wake up in the middle of the night hungry? Even though that probably hasn't happened to me since Ranger School, which was in 1993. Yeah, it's an interesting thing to eat on an empty stomach.
So I like what you said about 5 minutes. You said, even if it's just for 5 minutes, I've started every morning, I get up and I do a little bit of a yoga and stretching routine, because if I don't, I feel like garbage for the rest of the day. And then I usually work out in the afternoon. We get to a layover spot and it's always the same thing, right? It's, hey, we're going to go out with the crew, meet downstairs in 20 minutes. How useful, what big of a difference is it between doing nothing when you get in? You're like, I got to get down in 20 minutes. I'm changing, and taking 25 minutes and going through a quick little stretch routine. How big of an impact does that make over 5, 10, 20 years?
It's cumulative. It's huge. I tell people, I work with some of Ryan's folks and they're young and they're like, hey, if I can't get after it for 45 minutes to 60 minutes in the gym, I'm not going to do anything. And I used to be that way too. And now at 53, I'm like, if I can park at the far end of the Home Depot parking lot, I'm going to get out and get long. And you can't walk too much as a human being. And in my opinion, I think it all counts. Two flights of stairs when you can grab them, good stuff. An extra 5 minutes of stretching, cumulative over, it's like the math, right? Hey, let's do the math on, I didn't do any push-ups last year, to the math on, I did 10 push-ups a day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's so easy, you wouldn't even think about, oh, 10 push-ups? That's ridiculous. Of course I can do 10 push-ups a day. Or most people would say that.
Yeah, but it's 36,500
push-ups. It's a bunch of push-ups by the end of the year, for sure. Yeah. It's cumulative.
I like that. Let's switch gears to mental, because that's something that pilots, for some people, it's a more of a stressful job than others, but there's a lot of stressors that are external to actually the task at hand, flying the airplane. There's stressors of being away from home and away from family and staying in cheap, crappy hotels sometimes and not having access to great food. And all those things are cumulatively stressful. What do you recommend for the mental health?
It's gonna sound familiar. Two things. One, I don't think you can work too hard on getting good sleep. And so that would be another place as a pilot. I would have a locked down sleep system that involved, if you're good with an eye mask where you're not getting any light and you can do that easy, or I carry tape with me and I tape over lights and I clip curtains together and I throw pillows at the bottom of the door to block light and sound. I do my best to get the best sleep I can. Again, whether I'm in a hotel, whether I'm at home, whether I'm in a tent with my boys. I think that's huge. And from a stress standpoint and a mental health standpoint, it can't be overstated how important it is. The other thing though is I listened to your episode with the pilot lawyer, and there was some talk about how pilots medicate with alcohol because they don't have to tell anybody about that. And I'm 25 years in the military. I know that world very well. The everything's better with a couple beers on it kind of mentality. And the reality is there's a lot of science out there now that's, hey, guess what? Working out is as good for you from a mental standpoint as, in fact, better than most SSRIs. Now, you're a pilot. You have to report all these things about the medications you take. Hey, what about just prioritizing your workout?
Yep.
I was fortunate in that in the military, I had a job where we had to maintain a very high standard from a performance standpoint, a physical fitness standpoint. Now that I'm out and I'm just 53-year-old dad, most of my work is over the phone or a Zoom call. And if I don't work out, I'm not nearly the quality human being that I am when I'm working out regularly. And I have a varied routine. I do strength work. I run. All the stuff that you read about in Outlive, since that's a book you both know, it's zone 2, zone 5, strength work, stability, strength, mobility, all of it matters. And it's so basic and everybody's, yeah, I know that, but then they don't do it. So they don't actually understand how huge it is. It's a game changer. And then they run into that, hey, I'm 65 and I thought I was going to be doing all this cool stuff with all this money that Tate and Ryan helped me accumulate over the last 2 decades. And I feel like a bag of guts and I can't do anything. And that's where I'm just like, hey, there's something awesome about wealth freedom. There's something even more awesome about health and wellness freedom for sure.
Absolutely. I can tell you firsthand, I went to do the acceptance flight on an aircraft in Hamburg, Germany. And I just got smacked with the worst jet lag. And I spent 2-3 days in the hotel room just in this half depression. And when I finally drug myself out, I made myself go to the gym. It just completely changed everything. And the endorphins came out. And it was awesome. Not speaking to anything that anybody listening to this show doesn't already know. But I'll bring up one other thing because you said there's such a powerful component to it. This guy, Adrian Williams on Peloton, if you don't have the Peloton app, it's awesome. Everybody thinks Peloton is just the bike. I've ridden the bike maybe, I don't know, twice. But these workouts are unbelievable. The Peloton app has all these strength workouts. And I work out a lot with this guy, Adrian Williams. And he goes, and he's ripped. And he goes, I eat anything I want. He goes, I eat well, but I eat anything I want because I work so hard, it doesn't matter. And I just love that. If you're working so hard, it's like your body's going to burn it. And of course, he looks at the camera. He goes, you know what you're doing. So when you're ordering that food at the airport, you know what you're doing, whether that's healthy or not. So just follow those guidelines. And if you work hard enough, it doesn't matter. And that's something that I've been living by for a while. And I love it.
Yeah. And if you don't know the book Outlive by Peter Attia, I'm going to do something different on the show. This book is amazing. It's really helped shape how I think about preventing the four horsemen, right? The different diseases that we all potentially could get and eventually kill us. And it's a way to live life longer, better, right? When we get into our 70s and 80s, we can get these diseases that basically ruin the last glory years of our lives, or we can go really long and live into our 90s and have a very fruitful life. And the book really talks about that. And I'm going to throw this out there. We've never done this. This is a total audible that I'm calling here, Tate. But anybody who emails us at ask@passiveincomepilots.com and asks us a question, I'll mail you a copy of the book, Outlive.
Boom.
So there you go. If you're listening, we'll give you a free copy of the book. Alex, I want to change gears a little bit. You are a performance coach. Is that your official title?
Yeah, in the coaching world, you can make your title up. It can be whatever you want. I was sick of getting asked about whether that was youth soccer or what when I said performance coach. Now I call myself a personal performance coach.
I help adults
get their stuff straight around eating better, sleeping better, moving better, and thinking better.
We love it. I wanted to dig into that a little bit. So you said that your day-to-day, you're on Zoom calls, you're on phone calls, you're basically working remote with people all over the world, and you're helping people live better by mental health, exercise, good habits. Talk to us about like your typical client that you help out. A lot of listeners of the show are airline pilots earning $300,000 to $600,000 a year, busy lives, things like that. I've personally benefited from your coaching. Talk to us about what your day-to-day is like and who your typical client is.
Man, I have everything from 32-year-old founders of tech companies to all the way out to 75-year-old movie makers. So guys who are deep in the trenches every day with international staff issues and all the things that come along with being in the tech space, all the way out to a guy who's been making movies for decades, and he wakes up at 4:30 and writes for an hour and a half to 2 hours after doing some stretching. And then he works, and then he has this like amazing routine. And it's funny, I'll tell you right now, the two guys I'm talking about, this 75-year-old can probably do more pull-ups than the 32-year-old, but he's been doing a lot of good stuff for a lot of years. And we're focused on just reacquiring athleticism for that younger client. So it's all the things you can imagine. And to use a little bit of the vernacular I hear from your show is, I like all the pillars to be vertically integrated. Why just have a strength coach that you see at the gym or a nutritionist? How about you have somebody that's literally has oversight on all of it? Hey, let's not just work on biceps. Let's talk how you're eating. Let's talk how you're sleeping. The one that everybody likes to just gloss over, sleep is huge. And then in addition to that, yeah, we're going to talk a lot about movement, and we're going to bring in whatever professionals we need to make you the best you can be in that space. I've got clients who I'm their performance coach, but they also have a strength coach that they work with 3 days a week in their local town or whatever. And then the think piece, thinking better is something we all need to do. And it's hard to say, this is you do A, B, and C and problem solve. But I do have some start points that I like to focus on with how people think day in and day out as well.
What are those?
When I think about pilots and that value add to somebody making $300K to $600K a year, let's say, you could do let's say you do 20% improvement math on those numbers. If I can make you perform overall better at 20%, which is we're like throwing numbers to really very subjective and objective things, man, that's what would that be worth if you take 20% of that revenue and apply that to a coaching relationship? And then not only, hey, what if I don't even, a personal performance coach doesn't just help you feel better day in, day out, but along the way, oh, maybe you get 5 or 10 extra quality years on your life. That's a hard one to put numbers around, but I have multiple coaches that I use for different things that I am involved in. And I'm just in the military, we always had the subject matter experts coming in to train us to do whatever we wanted to do really well, whether that was driving really fast on loose surfaces or flying parachutes very accurately or shooting pistols really fast and really accurately. We brought in all the experts for those spaces. I think just in general, that's a good concept for any professional, especially for the people who it doesn't come naturally. I have clients who are like, they just don't have the education. They don't have a clue as to what macros are with regard to what's on their plate, or they were the kid who just never gravitated towards sports or the gym. And they're like, hey, it didn't matter when I was 25, but now that I'm 40, it matters.
It matters big time. I mean, I was a college athlete working out twice a day, but never learned how to eat. And that was crash and burn as soon as I got to the airlines, when now you can, there's all kinds of junk to eat and you're not working out as much. So that's huge. One tip that you gave me recently was just right after you eat your lunch, just go for a walk. I have the walking treadmill in the office, and after I eat, I try to put a mile or two on that. And it's amazing how much better you feel to let your body digest that food with some exercise. So that's pretty cool. I want to talk on one thing, which is sleep. What's your best advice for someone who is flying international? They're on a different time zone. They're on a different body clock. They're flipping back and forth between working and staying at home. What's like a sleep routine that you would recommend for someone like that?
That is a really tough one. And if it doesn't come naturally to people to manage good sleep in that environment, I would say a couple of things. You just mentioned one, and Tate was talking about, hey, be down in the lobby, we're going to get some chow in 20 minutes. Whenever you get back to that hotel, I would say, even if you can just get on the treadmill for 20 minutes, not run, literally just stroll, just 20 minutes of walking is going to reset a lot of systems in your body. And that's muscles, that's digestion, just all your systems are going to improve with something that simple. And that's a travel technique that I think Tim Ferriss threw out I don't know if it was the 4-hour body or what. That's super old science and very useful.
And so here's a tip. Pick a restaurant that's a 20-minute walk away. And even if you got an Uber there with the crew, you tell them, all right, I'm going to walk back. I'll see you at the hotel.
Yeah.
There you go.
Maybe not in Mexico City, but most places that would probably be.
Maybe
not.
Check your local security protocol.
Exactly. We cannot be held responsible for any
doctors or security specialists for wherever you are in the world. Exactly.
We're just friendly.
I would say that's a good one. I would say a couple things I see with my clients, because I track their sleep with an Oura Ring. So I have a dashboard. I see all their stuff. So my clients that drink once in a while, I can see sometimes for certain people, I can be like, and all the alcohol got out of their system at 3 a.m. because their heart rate dropped, their HRV went up, and they settled into what looks like normal sleep after that. So alcohol, although it may help you fall asleep and you're like, oh, I sleep better with alcohol, it's not good sleep. I don't know the status of you all using medications that help sleep, but my experience with those in the military, watching my friends who became very used to using things like Ambien, that never ended well for anyone. And honestly, if you listen to Matthew Walker or any of the sleep experts that are out there, they will tell you that if you need to use a medication to get your sleep back on track once in a while for a couple, 2-3 days, that's one thing. But chronic use of those things is not sleep. That's when you're taking medications for sleep, like Ambien, and I have nothing particular, it's just the one that comes to mind. So all of them, that's not sleep. That's more like you're getting knocked out. Your body's not actually sleeping. But some of the supplements would be useful to explore as a way to get to sleep.
What about magnesium? I've found that magnesium recently has been a nice alternative to melatonin, and I don't take it very often, but if I'm having trouble sleeping, I'll take some magnesium and it knocks me out.
Some people experience that with magnesium. I personally use theanine, a super low dose of theanine, which is for people who like the energy drinks back when they started and you drink a couple energy drinks and you'd literally be shaking. They realized if they put theanine in there, which is it's a calming supplement for, it calms your nervous system. So it takes that shake out of you and they put it in energy drinks, but it also is just this nice thing that kind of helps your body relax into sleep. So I take a low dose of that. The melatonin is, you hear a lot of people, you want to be very careful with melatonin, but a lot of people take it literally every night. And so I would look more towards the supplements like ashwagandha, theanine, and melatonin as actual supplements to sleep. And if you find a magnesium supplement that really works for you and like anything, you notice, hey, when I take this, I have some crazy dreams, but I get good sleep. While I'm dreaming crazy, that's what I would be looking for. But also like from a physical standpoint, hey, how do I manage the environment on these international flights? Am I making sure that the environment, like it's cool? Most people like a cool room to sleep in. Most people like a dark room to sleep in, like a constant noise or no noise situation. So that's where I'd be pulling out all the stops to make sure I can make every environment.
I never thought about putting a clip in my bag. Everybody uses the clips for the ACARS paper, right? But I've never heard of using them for the hotel curtains. What's your hack, Ryan?
I got a hack. I can't wait to share it. It's like my only one. It's the only one I got. Okay, so go into the closet. You grab the hanger, and the hanger's got two clips to hold your...
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. So then you take that, you clip that to the curtains, and then you fold it over and clip it to the other side with the hanger. That was my... There you go.
I like that.
I'm out of tricks now. Some of those AC units, they don't, in hotels, they rig them so you can't go below a certain temperature. But there's some YouTube videos out there that you can find where it helps you like hack the programmable thermostat in the hotel so you can get it down below 65 or whatever. But anyway, that's all I have. I'm all out of tricks. So...
Alex, thank you so much for coming on, sharing your wisdom. If people want to get in touch with you and find out more about you, how do they go about that?
You can check me out on LinkedIn. That's where I'm most active. I use my company name there and my personal name. There's probably a few Alex Racy's. I'm most likely the only personal performance coach but I also have first principles performance coaching on LinkedIn. Honestly, though, they could just email me. I'm a one-man band at this point in my life. So it's A-L-E-X at FPP.LLC. Few things since we've been talking that I can think of. I mentioned protein baseline. Some people might be going like, what the heck is that? I've got a worksheet I'd be happy to send anybody who wants to just reach out and say, hey, I'm a pilot. What help me with coffee's brewing yoga? I'll send them a worksheet with some video links. Protein baseline, I've got a worksheet I can send. So yeah, I'd love to keep this conversation going with some of your folks, because I've got a 19-year-old who's going to be in that space here very soon. So I really appreciate this opportunity.
Yeah. Well, there's a newsletter. I just signed up for it. It's free. Check it out. We'll link to that in the show notes. Alex, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Alex.
Good to see you guys.